Okay. Let's hopefully maybe we'll finish this mitzvah, this Mishnah today. Rabbi Chalavta ben Dosa Ish Kvar Chananya Omer Asora Sheyoshvin Va'oskin Batorah Shechina Shruya Beinehim. 10 people sitting and learning Torah together, the Shechina is there, resides amongst them. Sheneamar Elohim Nitzah Ba'adas El, the Rabbanu Shel Olam stands in the Eda, and we learn that an Eda is 10, because by the Meraglim it says, and Mosei Ha'Eda Haroa Hazos, so you see an Eda is 10 people. Umenayin Afilu Chamisha, how do you know even 5 people? Sheneamar Vagudos Ol Eretz Yisoda, and Aguda is 5. Umenayin Afilu Shlosha, how do you know even 3 people? Sheneamar Bekerav Elohim Yishpot. Okay, so we have 5, so that's we got to that. Even 3, because there, Bekerav Elohim refers over here to judges, and a small court is 3 judges. Umenayin Afilu Shnayim, how do you know even 2? Shenemar Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem Isha Reyehu V'yakshev Hashem V'yishma, 2 people will speak over Torah one to the other, and God hears. Umenayin Afilu Echad, how do you know even 1 person who sits and learns Torah on his own, that the Shechina is with him? Shenemar B'chol HaMokom Asher Asker Eshemi Ovo Eilecho V'yirachticha, wherever I give you permission to mention my name, and God's name is Torah is God's names, so I will come to you and bless you. So God's with even 1 person who learns Torah. Learning Torah connects you to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we explained already the Abarbanel, that what he's saying is that even though we had a Mishnah before about 3 people who eat and 2 people who are sitting and not discussing Torah, or yes, discussing Torah, before we had only that even 1 person, 2 people, God gives them reward, but not that he's there with them. And here, Rabbi Chalavta is arguing and saying, no, even 1 person, the Shechina is there. However, it's not the same degree of Shechina for each of these things. 10 people is a very intense, concentrated Shechina. 5 people less, 3 people less than that, 2 people less than that, and 1 person less than that. But there is a certain certain Shechina that accompanies even 1 person who's learning. Okay. The last time, if you remember, the last time that we learned Pirkei Avos, which was before Tu B'Shvat last week, we spoke about the number 10. Why 10 is such a special number. When you have 10, you have a minyan, because 10 represents the collective unity. It's a lot of different things collected into one unit, and therefore 10 makes a minyan. That's already a community. Communal unity is a community. There's Esher Sfiros, God's different midos connect into coalesce from one God and spread out to 10 different midos. Those are the Esher Sfiros. The 10 different kinds of malachim who are shluchim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and a shliach is representative of his sender. And God is one, so the 10 different kinds of malachim are all one kind of unit. Asara mamoros, there were 10 utterances which the world was created with. It's all one unified world, but split into 10 different things. And the aseres hadibros, it's interesting that when it comes to the world, it's called asara mamoros, which means 10 separate utterances. When it comes to Torah, it's aseres hadibros. Rashi says, whenever it says aseres shivas, not shiva, shesh, or not shisha, sheshes, it means one unit of that number. A unit of 7 days, a unit of 10. The world looks like separate things. Right? The asara mamoros, the trees, the animals, all look separate. What unites them and gives them all one purpose, one goal, one source, that's the Torah. So the Torah is aseres hadibros. It's one unit of 10, whereas the world is asora mamoros, where it looks like 10 separate things. What unites them is the aseres hadibros.
Okay. I should ask something about the sedra when it said about before Mamad Hasinai, Moshe first said that the people should prepare shlosha yomim. And
right.
Then immediately afterwards, you know, to Sukkim afterwards, it says
shloshes yomim, right.
You shall prepare.
Right.
So what was the difference? Why one shlosha and one shloshes?
Now, it could be that the first time it told them what they have to do during those 3 days. But as the preparation for Har Sinai, right, Ba'od Shloshes Yomim, right, that unit of those 3 days that they did what they were supposed to do, not have relations or whatever, that was the preparation. The preparation was a unit of 3 days. What they had to do was to do it for 3 separate days. Right, also.
It's a unit of.
There were 10 generations from Adam to Noah, Noah to Avram. The world is based on these foundations of these generations. So it's a unit of 10. Each one contributed something to the foundation of the world. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests because they were formed one unit to complete the stature of Avram Avinu. There were 10 plagues in Mitzrayim, right, that were really one unit that together showed the Egyptians and showed the world there's a God. Each one contributed another aspect of God's presence in the world.
10 times
what else?
Blamed against me in the desert.
Right. They tested the Rabban Shem, which again was a unit of rebellion that reached its point where then they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. They had to spend 40 years in the desert. There are 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Also, a unit of what made the Beis HaMikdash different than a regular place. He brings down that there are 10 senses, 5 external and 5 internal senses. I'm not sure exactly what they are. 5 senses, I understand. Touch, hearing, seeing, smell, taste, and touch. But
touch
what
you
the
said already.
10,
touch
right.
You said already.
What?
Touch you said in the beginning.
Okay, so it's 5.
Yeah.
Right, but what's the other 5?
So maybe
5 internal and 5 external, he says.
Well, one is, could be the physical senses.
Yeah.
And one is the interior, how one interprets those senses.
I hear. Could be. He doesn't explain what it is.
Emotions.
Aseret, right? Emotions, maybe, yeah. That's a similar thing.
Yeah.
Okay, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, 10 days of Tshuva, which again form a unit, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, together as a unit. And 10, that makes up a minion for davening. Okay.
And
that's
the
10
meraglim you said, right?
Right, right. That's the Eidah, right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so that is the significance of 10. How about 5? So in 10, there is such a unity that it enables God's presence to be there. Now, with 5, there's less of a presence of God, but still, the number 5 is also significant. So what are the number 5? Okay, he says there's 4, what's it called, yesodos. There are 4,
fundamentals?
Fundamental materials. Mm-hmm. Fire, water, air, and ground, earth. And then there's Geshem HaChamishi that puts it all together. These are it's like the atoms and then the molecules that those atoms form. There are 5 different kinds of creations. There's domain, the mineral, someach, vegetable, chai, animal, medaber is human beings who speak, and the fifth one is malachim or whatever, spiritual beings. What else is five? Five fingers on each hand, okay? Okay, it's five Chamisha Chumshei Torah, five books of Tehillim. Okay, and I have on the side over here that five represents the following. There are four directions, and the fifth is a point in the middle that unites them together. So five is similar to ten. Ten is the ultimate connection and unity, and five is like a portion of that unity, a half of that unity. Therefore, whenever you have a unity that's part of a group, and each one has its own unity, five represents that. For instance, Chamisha Chumshei Torah. There's Torah, but then there's Nevi'im Miksuvim. So five is the unity of a portion of what the entire Torah is, or even more. The Chamisha Chumshei Torah is the written Torah. And then there's the oral Torah that accompanies it. So the unity of the written Torah is five. He says also that Olam Hazeh, this world was created with a hay, the He Baram. The hay represents the fact that it's open very wide on the bottom. Most people end up going down. But there's also an opening on the side. If people want to do tshuva, can get through that opening. So this world was created with a hay, and the next world with a yud. Right? This Olam Haba is a yud. And Olam Hazeh is a hey, because Olam Hazeh is only, there's a completeness of this world, but it's only half. And the next world completes everything. That's Yud, that's a ten. That is the unity, what comes from this world and the next world. So it's ten. This world is only part of it, so it's only five. What else? A five? And we learn it from Agudaso al Eretz Rabba, right? Agudaso is the five different kinds of creations, right? That's represented by Aguda. Aguda means the combination of all the different kinds of creations. Okay, the Kuzri says a little bit differently. Maybe this is what he means too. The five are, lechor is only four. Mineral, vegetable, animal, human being. But then there's a fifth, is Klal Yisrael. We're a different sug. We're not exactly like other human beings. In fact, there's a Tosfos that the Chasam Sofer, the Chasam Sofer says it, but there's a Tosfos that hints to this idea too. Maybe it's not something to say publicly amongst non-Jews also. The Chasam Sofer was asked a question, can you rely on experiments that were made on non-Jews? And to make conclusions because of those studies for Jews. The Gemara says in Shabbos that the body of a non-Jew is different than the body of a Jew. There the Gemara says the reason is that non-Jews eat non-kosher things, and therefore the makeup of their body is different than Jews who only eat kosher things. So the Chasam Sofer says to rely on, let's say in the case of Pikuach Nefesh, where they made a study of non-Jewish bodies, basically, and they said that this thing is not harmful or whatever. You can't rely on that to take a chance with human life by a Jew, because maybe it doesn't apply to Jews.
There are Jews who eat non-kosher.
Yeah, okay, that's but it could be their neshama is affected differently by it, and their bodies are made up different for that. It's not just the food that affects it, it's the neshama that's sensitive to that food. Tosfos says even more than that. Tosfos says like this, the Gemara in Tainis says, which is a proof to this Chasam Sofer, I think, from this Tosfos. The Gemara says that if there's a plague that affects one kind of animal, and you don't have that kind of animal in your area, then the people in this second area don't have to fast. There's no danger to them, because a plague that affects one kind of animal is not going to affect a different kind of animal. It's not going to spread. If it's only in deer, and you have no deer, you have sheep. So a plague that sickness that hits deer is not going to affect sheep. However, the Gemara says that a plague that affects pigs, you do have to fast. Why? Because the insides of pigs are very similar to human beings. That's why they use guinea pigs for scientific research. I don't know if a guinea pig is really
a
pig.
No. But they do use pigs for experiments.
For instance, no, they use, right, for artificial hearts.
Yes.
Right, pig skins or whatever. So pigs are very similar biologically to human beings. Some human beings are very biologically similar to pigs. But in any case, but pigs are similar to human beings. And therefore, a plague that would affect pigs could conceivably affect human beings. You have to fast. Tosfos says like this, therefore, if there is a plague amongst non-Jews, Jews should also fast, because if pigs are similar to humans, so surely non-Jews are similar to Jews.
Yeah.
But mashma, they're not exactly the same. It's just a similarity. So it seems to corroborate what the Chasam Sofer says, that even physically, a Jewish body is what it affects. It is different than what affects a non-Jewish body. It's again, because we have different mitzvahs, we have a different kind of neshama, we eat different things, or we are programmed to eat different things. Even if we don't eat the same thing, we do eat the same thing as them. It still doesn't change our chemistry the same way. Okay. So in any case,
doesn't the Rambam also say that? In a Jew, the body and the soul are one. They're not separate.
Right. Yeah. Could be. I don't know. I hear it. Okay. So whatever it is, so there's a fifth level. The fifth level is Jewish people. They're the next step between human being, and then there's the Jew. Or there's another, I think the Kuzri says a little bit differently. He doesn't say all Jews. He says Nevi'im. A Navi who's reached a level of total connection to God, where he is, you know, tuned in, he's the fifth level. So it's not necessarily all Jews according to that. It's the Jew who reaches his real potential. Okay. And Rashi, however, learns differently in this Mishnah. And Rashi, the Abar Benel, brings him down that he switches the psukim. The pasuk for 5 is Elohim nitsa ba'adash el b'kerav Elohim yishpot. Right? So we said that that's for 3, because Elohim is 3 judges. Rashi says that pasuk is for 5. So how does it fit for 5? It's not 5 judges. He says what it means is when you have 3 judges judging a case, they need 2 other people to judge, the 2 litigants. So we have 5 people.
Well, each one has to wait, so that's...
Okay, so that's 5. And 3 is an aguda, because we do find that a bunch of things is 3. We are agudas ezov. When in the Korban Pesach, they had to have a bunch of hyssop leaves, hyssop stems. And the number that they had to have was 3. So you see, sometimes the Torah describes a bunch as 3.
That was the theme song of Kippur Agudah. Masos Lachem. My father was director for 12 years.
Really?
Oh, wow. I grew up in Camp Agoda until I got too big to stay, and they shipped me to Benoist.
Yes.
There's also five levels of holiness, maybe, on earth, like Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash and the Holy of Holies. Can you say that?
No, but it says there are the 10 levels of Kedusha.
Ten.
But that was one of the things, we just skipped it. There's 10 levels of Kedusha, yeah. Okay, now three. What's the importance of the number three? So three is a number that represents balance. You have two extremes, and the middle is the balance. By all midos, you have extremes, right? Somebody who gets angry all the time, somebody who never gets angry, and somebody who gets angry when it's necessary and holds it back. So every mida has three parts to it. The three avos. Avram was total chesed, right? And Yitzchak was total din, the other extreme. And Yaakov was Tiferes, was in between. Chesed and Din is the balance between the two.
Also, a table needs at least three legs to stand.
Okay, because you can't, right, you can't, because either extreme is not going to hold it up.
So okay. Three things the world stands, right?
Right, same kind of thing. And that's right, Gemilas Chasodim, Torah is the in-between, and Avoda is the Din is the other extreme. But Yitzchak is Avoda, Avram is Chesed, and Yaakov was Torah.
Rabbi Tatz puts it, thesis, yeah. Antithesis, and synthesis.
Ah, okay. Okay.
A threefold cord is hard to break. It's also Pirkei Avot, right?
Right. So he says that's why the foundations of something. You need, like you said, the three legs to be a foundation. That's three, and the three avos. According to the Sefer HaIkarim, the Rambam counts 13 Ikarim. 13 is Echad. Aleph is 1, Ches is 8 is 9, and Dalet is 4 is 13. 13 is oneness. But the Sefer HaIkarim says there's only really three Ikarim. Belief in God, God's existence. Torah min HaShemayim, that God gave a Torah. And that there is schar and onish. There is what's it called? Reward and punishment. Those are the three. There's three yamim tovim. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, which also are a foundation for the year. The Gemara says that we're a special nation. We're made up of three parts. Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. The Torah is made up of three parts, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And in order for something to be considered an important place, you need three Tvachim. Three Tvachim is considered, anything less than three Tvachim is like it doesn't exist. So to give something a foundation is three.
That's why it works for Levud.
The what?
That's why it works in the sukkah.
Right, lavud, right. Less than three is like it's not there. Says that what's it called? That chut hamashulash, lo b'mehera yinosek. If you have a cord of three, made up of three strands, it's hard to tear it, to break it. Okay, so those are the... That is the, what's it called, the mila of three. Okay. It's not the same mila of, what's it called, of five, but there's a certain level of shina even by three. Okay, he also mentioned something, other things. There are three worlds. The world of ruchnius, meaning angels or whatever. Then there's the world of outer space, planets. And then there's this down here world. So that's also three different components of the world. There's three different kinds of souls. There's the nefesh achiyuni, which means the physical life force. And then there's the nefesh, and then there's the neshama, or ruach. The nefesh, ruach, neshama. What else? Oh, no, he says, yeah, that's what he says, what's it called? Okay, the chiyunis, nafshis, and hazana. There's also the heart, the mind, and the liver. I don't know why the liver was attributed a lot of things to do with emotion or whatever. But in any case, that's basically based on the Greeks. And Tanakh and a Beis Din is three. So we see that there's significance to the number three also.
Three and the school of three elderly people we survived the desert.
Okay, Moshe, so right, Moshe, Aaron, right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, can you do that?
Yeah, oh. Yeah. Okay, now down to two. What's the specialness of two? Okay.
Perhaps four.
What? There's nothing special about four more than three. And nothing special about six, seven, eight, or nine more than five. It's just that it contains five in it. But there's nothing special about those numbers. Huh?
I just thought of something else.
Of yeah, yeah.
To do a tahara, you need, at least with the women.
Five.
You need five women, two on each side and one in the Rosh.
Right, that's L'chat Chila for sure, yes. Okay. Okay, now what is two? Two, he says, is the beginning of plurality. One is one. But you start to have more than one, that's two. So that's the idea of society, right? One person alone is a loner. Once you have two people, you have the beginning of a society. You have Chomer and Surah. There is the form and material. Material and form. Guf and Nefesh. There's the body and the soul. There's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. So we see that two also has the idea of zug, of pairs, things that go in pairs, right? Male and female, okay? The Beis of Bereishis represents the fact that in the beginning, God already began to make things plural, separate things. That's the Beis, okay? Male and female, we said. Also, when you have two things, you have a contrast. You have two contrasting things.
For interaction.
Right. They can interact. They can contrast each other. Also, two represents a certain amount of consistency. You have one, you don't know if it's going to continue, but with two, already it goes on to the next thing, and you have a similarity between them. Consistency, right? Ikvius. Repetition and consistency. Something that's repetitive and consistent. Okay, it continues on. It's not just an isolated occurrence, and that's an important thing. It says it's important for people to be consistent and not to be inconsistent. Somebody who comes to shul every day, and one day misses, God asks about him. Because if you have the power to be consistent, then something, if you don't come every day anyway, so you'll get dealt with as an inconsistent person, but a consistent person, a different person. Okay, so that's the number two. And what's special about one? Sorry. One represents the oneness of God, the beginning of something, the main component of something. Korban Pesach was supposed to represent unity. So you had to roast it completely together, not separated or whatever. It was considered
a
oneness, right, not break the bones. It had to be 1 year old. Everything about it was one. And eaten in one group, not in two groups. Everything was one about the Korban Pesach. So the Achdus Hashem and the oneness of the world, unity, very important thing. Torah was given. What's it called? Ki ish echad b'lev echad. Torah is one. God is one. Ato echad. You're one, God. V'shimcha echad. God's name is the Torah. U'mika amcha Yisrael. Goy echad bar. The Jewish people have to be one to be able to be part of that group. So to get the Torah, they had to unite. It wasn't just a nice thing they were united.
Shamor v'zachor v'bidyu. Gur echad.
Right. Okay. There are a lot of things that are right, that appear to be two, but are one. Okay.
Two Edim.
Two two right.
demons, not on the list.
Yeah, that's no, but that's a good two. Okay. Okay, and here's the proof is, Avoelech, I'll come to you individually. Okay. And the what's it called, the sacrifices bring God's presence, and Torah is equal or greater than sacrifices. So learning Torah also brings God's presence. Okay. Okay, now we'll go to some other Mefarshim. See if you can finish this up. Now, why isn't there something more than 10? Because anything more than 10, it just basically has no new mila. 10 is the ultimate unity, so everything after that is the same. We find that in benching. Once you have 10, you say Elokeinu, according to the way we paschal, there is another opinion. You don't say anything different after that. If you have a million people, you still say just Elokeinu. You don't add anything else. That's what the Maharal says. There's nothing to add. The 10 represents the klal. And that's it. After that, the klal is just a bigger klal, but it's the same klal. Okay, it says also by tefillah, it says Shechina imohem. The Shechina is with them. But when they leave, the Shechina lives. But by Torah, it says Shechina shore. In other words, you bring the Shechina, even when the people leave, the Shechina still makes an impression in that place. Okay. And that is what's it called? Says that Ein Lakodesh Baruch Hu Bi'Olamo El Adalad Amos Shel Halacha. That place becomes sanctified because Torah was learned there. Okay. Elokim Nitzav, God stands just like the king stands in his capital city, in his palace, right? The Rabban Shem stands together with people, three people who are learning Torah. And he stands there to protect them also. Torah has a protective purpose. He explains over here the five things. There's touch, taste, smell, sight, and hearing. It's five senses. Okay. There are five levels of neshama. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida. The higher levels of the neshama. And five dibros on each of the luchos, of the aseres hadibros. That all this adds the Magen Avos. When you have two people learning Torah, God attaches himself to them, and that makes it three already. And even one person, God has two names, right? So he's mitzarev both names to the person, also three. By one person, it doesn't say that he writes a Sefer Zikaron. By two people, he writes it down in a memory book. By one person, he's there, but it doesn't leave the same impression for the future. And some say what that means is that when two people are learning together, the effect goes on to the next generation. One person learns by himself, it doesn't go on to the next generation. That's what Mincha Shabbos says.
So it means that if you learn by yourself, you have to give it over.
That L'chari have no choice, right? Also the Ruach Chaim points out that each of these different numbers affects a different quality of the Torah. When the Torah is learned with one, it doesn't have the same quality as when you learn with a chavrusa. And when you learn three people together, it has more of a quality than two, and five more than three, and 10 more than five. It says, B'chol makom asher askir ashemi. If it's talking about people learning Torah, it should say, Yaskiru, they're mentioning God's name. Not God is mentioning his name. But the rule is that if God wouldn't help them, then they couldn't learn. Torah learning is not something you can do with the gray matter of your brain. It's a mitzvah. God gives it to you. He teaches you Torah. Malamid Torah Lamo Yisrael. So therefore, God's mentioning his name. He's helping you out. He's giving you the power to learn. That's what Medrash Shmuel says. And even though, what's it called, is God gives the power to learn, still he gives you the bracha, and he gives you reward as if you're doing it yourself. Because really, you need God's help. So you could say, without my help, you did nothing. So why do you deserve any reward? But since you're interested in getting that help, for that itself, you get the reward. Okay, that finishes this Mishnah. And next week, Amir Tashem, we'll start a new Mishnah.
Go ahead.